Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of love, meditating on the last words that you spoke on the cross. Dear Lord, these words may speak to us. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, now we are going to see the third word that was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It is said in John chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Dear friends, as we read this verse, this incident might have taken only a few seconds or few minutes in the thousands of years back, but it has a very deep, intense sense of feeling that happens in the human life, and it resonates in generation after generation, years after years. So even after so many years, when we read this verse, this whole scene comes right before our eyes. We see how the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and he was on the cross, and then he says that, "Woman, behold your son." Now, at this time, when we see Mary, we see her, she is in such a heart-wrenching situation, where she is seeing her own begotten son being whipped with lashes, being nailed to the cross, and being pierced with the thorns. It would have been really a difficult and a painful situation that Mary had to go through. And such situation no earthly mother could really think about. It's so hard to go through this situation. And she was definitely in a very inconsolable grief. And at that point, she had no image. Though we see that her friends, the other women, were with her, but she had no immediate family, her husband or her other children with her. And here it does not speak about the presence of her husband Joseph. So most of the Bible commentators say that maybe Joseph was dead before this incident happened. And Mary, apart from having Jesus, she had many more children. As we read in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, here, it says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. So here we see that Mary had other children as well. So she had a family. But at that point, when she was in a painful situation, no one was with her. And at that time, she was seeing that her only begotten son, her son, Jesus Christ, was on the cross. And at that time, the God, even at the cross, when he was being crucified, he was in a deep pain. He gave her her hope. And we see the word that he says, "Woman, behold your son." He gave a real solution for his mother. Now, there was no unnecessary words or unkind words being spoken. There was not a quick miracle that happened, because Jesus was a God. He can do any miracle for his loved ones. But nothing that was happened at this point. The words clearly say that his mother really wanted a son who could comfort her, who could support her. And he gave, and he showed his disciple as a son for mother. He gave her hope for her real problem. Dear friends, this word really spoke to me when Even though we have a comfortable life, but still deep within we groan, we have pain, we have some disappointment. And at this time, what we have to do? We have to go draw close to the cross. Because here, in the Bible it's written that Mary was near the cross. Dear friends, we need to draw near the cross to get the strength from our God, our Jesus Christ, who was in a very pain. He was in pain, but still he fainted not. He comforted his mother and he gave her a real solution. So this word was really a comforting for the Christians when we could look at God who fainted not. And then as we go up to the next part of the word, he says, then he said to his disciple, behold your mother, disciple whom Jesus loved. Dear friends, in Bible we have seen many disciples. God chose 12 disciples. There were so many disciples with him. But what made this particular disciple as the whom Jesus loved? What was that? So it was referring to John the apostle, who was with Jesus Christ in his ministry. And what made him so special? And the one interesting point that I was able to understand from this was, we know that John the apostle was a relative of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist. But here it says, when we read the parallel scene of different Gospels, we see that John the Apostle was also very closely related to Jesus. I will just quote the verses. The Matthew chapter 27 and 56 states that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, that was the mother of Jesus, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, they were near they were looking at Jesus when he was on the cross. And then the next gospel, that is Mark, chapter 15, verse 40 says, there were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph, and Salome. Here the Salome refers to the mother of Zebedee's sons. And then finally, the John chapter 19, verse 25, which we read now, in that also it's written like, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister. Here we see the relationship that might be the, John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, might be close related to Jesus. So these verses shows him that he was close related. But I don't want to say that, John became the beloved disciple of Jesus just because he was his relative. No. Let's see why he became his beloved disciple. So first thing is, when Jesus was choosing the disciples, he named the Zebedee's sons, that's James and John, the beloved disciple, as sons of thunder. We see in Mark chapter 3, verse 17, states that he called them as sons of thunder. And when we go through the Bible, we still further see that John and James, they did show the slight essence of thunder in the Bible. That was really interesting. In the Luke chapter 9, verse 53 and 54. Now here we see that our Lord Jesus Christ was on the way to Jerusalem, and then he had to stay in a Samaritan town. And there, in chapter verse 53, Luke chapter 9, verse 53, but they did not receive him because his stage was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did. Just see how they were so angry when the Samaritans refused to give a room for Lord Jesus Christ. So even in this time, God knew John very well. And that's why he gave them the name, the Sons of Thunder. But that would have made him a very close disciple, a beloved disciple of Jesus. Let's see. And finally, the answer, which was very convincing for me, was we could see in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. And here, this is a place that the John and James' mother, the mother of Zebedee's son, she comes to Lord Jesus and she asks one thing. And I just read a few verses. That is Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came down to him with her son, kneeling down and asking something from him. And what did she ask? She asked, Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and other on the left, in your kingdom. See, dear friends, how John's mother, you could see that she had that higher desire, the desire not of this earth. She did not ask for any wealth, she did not ask for any power, or as we read that they were the sons of thunder. She did not ask Lord Jesus, do something about the anger issues with my son. She didn't ask that. The thing which she asked was, in your kingdom, I want my children, my sons, to be on your left and right hand. So see, dear friends, the desire the parent, the mother had for the son. And then we could even see this was one character. So she knew who Jesus was. She knew where Jesus was going to be. And she desired that's the eternal life which her son should have. And she desired her son should be in this Jesus Christ, in his kingdom. So there was a desire to have the children higher, like it was the higher thing which we cannot comprehend with our earthly life. And the second thing that when we read this passage, she said when she came to Jesus, she came kneeling down. Most of us we would have known that Zebedee's might be one of the affluent people because in the verse it says in Mark chapter 1 verse 20 it says that when Jesus called James and John to come to be his disciples, they left their father with their hired servant. So they had the privilege of having hired servants. So maybe they might have been a very rich people. But in spite of that, what the mother of the sons of Zebedee did, she knelt down. She showed the humility. The humbleness is something that definitely she would have passed to her son. Not the faith, the humility. So these are something that we can, as a parent, we can pass to our children. And definitely, our children will become the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will grow in faith. And we see that because of this, definitely that John would have become more beloved disciple of Jesus. And this also is being manifested, become evident when we see that John was part of many of the miracles where Jesus revealed the divine power. We know that John was one of the disciples when Jesus was transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration. And we know that John was also there with Jesus Christ when there was a big, large number of fishes that caught when Jesus told Peter, James, and John to fish. And the last one which I liked one was the, which really was where it showed that John had that childlike belief on Jesus Christ. And that was in the miracle of Jesus, healing of Jairus' daughter. That one is that's in Mark chapter 9, verse 2. So in the Mark chapter 9, verse 2, so that's about the transfiguration. And then it's the Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Yeah, in that, in Mark chapter 5, verse 36, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of synagogue, that Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. So he instructed Jairus to have the belief. And then after that, what he said, and he permitted no one to follow except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of synagogue and saw the tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. So here you can see that Jesus believed, John had that belief that Jesus will heal Jairus' daughter. And he permitted no other person, only Peter, James, and John to come and witness that divine revelation that Jesus was. So dear friends, we see that when John was brought up in a household of faith, belief, and humility, God manifested his divine powers. So, and then John would have been thrilled by seeing such a wonderful experience of divine power. My dear friends, at the end, I want to tell the finale that at the end, because of the faith and the humility that the beloved disciple learned, what do we see? We see at the end, we see the faith in action. How does it happen when we read the same verse, John, in that, and from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. Dear friends, here you see when Jesus said, behold your mother, then at that point the faith came into action. It was so immediate. He did not turn, he did not look anywhere. He took her at the same hour into his home. And dear friends, at that time I'm just wondering, did John ever think, well, what my mother would have been thinking? Because she was right over there next to him. Or he did not doubt anything, like have a doubt how he is going to do it. He did not procrastinate, he did not do. The faith was in the action, just took instantly. And then he took Mary with him to his house. And with that instant, he took the responsibility of being the son to Mary and took her to his house. Dear friends, as we read this, do we have this faith in action kind of experience that we can pass on to our children, our loved ones? Do we have that desire to have a higher standard, the higher goals in our life? And do we have the courage to draw close to the cross? May God help us. Thank you.